Blog Talk Radio.
Politics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're going to be talking about the Billy Meier case this evening, particularly Contact Report 155, and we'll cover all the topics mentioned in the title this evening. But in case we have a few new listeners, and as you know, I always tend to repeat at some point in the show anyway, let me tell you who Edward Albert Meier is. Billy Meier is a 77-year-old farmer from Switzerland. He lives about an hour east of Zurich in a tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidruti. And what makes Billy so interesting is that he has had extraterrestrial contact since about the age of 5 years old. His first contact was with an elderly man named Svath. And Billy used to get these telepathic messages to go out into the forest near his home in Niederflock / Bulach, Switzerland, where he grew up. And this occurred back in 1945 when Billy was a little boy of about 5 years old. He was told to go out into the Horrigan Forest, which he did. And he was looking down in a stream at some fish swimming there. And out of the sky came this silvery pear-shaped craft, which landed in a field nearby. And out stepped this elderly man named Svath, who walked over to young Billy, took him by the hand, and led him into the ship. And then Svath then took the ship up some 70,000 meters into the air and gave young Edward Albert Meier a incredible view of this beautiful blue world that we call Earth. And then Svath proceeded to tell Billy about his past lives, that he had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And then in each one of these lives, he taught an ancient universal teaching called the teaching of the spirit, the teaching of the truth, the teaching of life. And in each one of these previous lifetimes, the people of the earth distorted this teaching into the various religions that we have today. So in this final incarnation, the teaching will be stored in its original form so that in the future, when the people of the earth are really ready for this information, it will be available to them. Now, one thing Svoth did is he put a device on Billy's head that opened up Billy's mind so that he would have better access to the information stored in his subconscious related to these previous personalities. Svoth also warned Billy that in this lifetime that people would be very hostile towards his information and that some people would try to kill him. He was told to stay in the background, to focus on his writings, and that eventually other people would come forward to tell his story. Svoth told Billy about a time in the future, a time called the third millennium, a time which started in that same year that Svoth was talking to Billy, when the United States dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And that began what's called the third millennium. And in the third millennium, a maliciousness and a confusion will spread over the earth. And that people would become indolent and obtuse and indifferent, and that the leaders of the earth would become megalomaniacal and they would take away our rights of self-determination, and that the third millennium would be a very difficult time for the earth because there would be a slowly approaching global collapse that has started already. And there are certain prophecies associated with the third millennium. One I talk about often is the Henoch prophecies, which say that in the North American continent will occur the greatest disaster in recorded history when nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons will be released by automated systems that run outside of human control. So Billy was told that his life would be difficult, that people closest to him would turn against him, that people would try to kill him, but that eventually his teachings would bring about a time of peace, a time of prosperity, a time of happiness that would come some 800 years to now, when most people will be ready to listen to this information called the teaching of the spirit. Now, what is the teaching of the spirit? The teaching of the spirit consists of information in five different categories. First of all, it tells us what the universal consciousness is. There is a superintelligence which created our universe. It's not a religious deity. It's a neutral positive entity that builds universes as a part of its own evolution. And it created our universe some 46 trillion years ago. And it created a second universe, a parallel universe to ours, called the Tao universe. This being is not anthropomorphic. The universal consciousness, the creation, is not human-like. It doesn't become angry. It doesn't become jealous. Excuse me. It doesn't get involved in human wars. It's a superintelligence. It builds universes as a part of its own evolution. And it creates human spirits to aid it in its evolution. Now, every one of us has a spirit form. Our human spirit is the part of us that remains lifetime after lifetime. Your human spirit is a tiny little bit of energy that's located in your midbrain in an area called the superior colliculus. It sends out energy throughout your whole body. It cannot be harmed by the physical world. It's really the real you. When you die, your human spirit comes out of your body and it goes into the spiritual realm where the universal consciousness will take your past life memories and store them in the storage banks. And then at the appropriate time, your spirit, your human spirit, will be placed back into the body of a child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. Something called the comprehensive consciousness block will give you a new material consciousness. Your past life memories will be stored in your subconscious. So as that baby grows up again, you will get impulses from the universal storage banks that its conscious mind, its material consciousness will respond to, and it will receive inspiration from the past life memories that are stored in the subconsciousness. And that's the way that wisdom builds on top of wisdom. And the purpose of our life is to go through this reincarnation process to gather wisdom. And eventually, we merge back with the universal consciousness, with creation. But this occurs billions of years in the future. And there will be many, many reincarnations that a human being has. And the purpose of our life is to gather wisdom. Now, Billy, he's known as Billy. His real name is Edward Albert Meyer. He was called Billy because of his fondness of Western movies and Western garb. But his real name is Edward Albert Meyer. Edward means guardian of the treasure. And his life's work is to guard this ancient universal teaching, which will help the people of the earth in the future. So Billy had 11 years of contacts with this man named Svath, who taught him many things. And then his next 11 years of contacts started up with a woman named Asket from the Tao universe. Asket also taught Billy many things, which we've talked about in the past, and I'm sure we'll talk about in the future. Then Billy had 11 years of a normal life where he married a Greek woman named Calliope, and eventually he moved back to Switzerland and he started raising his three children. In 1975, his public mission began and he started to have contacts with another extraterrestrial. And this woman named Semyasi. And Semyasi would literally land her ship out in the open there in Switzerland, step out of the ship, and walk over and sit down beside Billy underneath a tree. And she started, again, teaching him. And she taught him about the structure of creation. She taught him about reincarnation. And she also talked about the human spirit, which I had just mentioned. And she said the human spirit does not die. It does not sleep. It records all of your thoughts and your actions. And it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. And she said the spirit is the bearer of the creative realm. Now, the German word for bearer in this case is Träger, and Träger also means repository, a receptacle, a place where things are deposited and stored. And what the human spirit is doing is recording your experiences in this life. And that's part of the function of the human spirit. She also, Semyase, said that the human spirit is the wonder of all wonders, and that all power emerges from it. And a wonder is something amazing, something strange and surprising, something that causes astonishment and admiration. She also explained that if a human being is happy, his happiness comes from within, because happiness is a self-created state, and happiness comes from spiritual poise. Spiritual poise is the state of being balanced. It's a state of stability. And the German word for poise is Ausgleichheit, which means calmness, even temper, equilibrium. Now, the reason I keep bringing up German is because Billy spoke German, and being in Switzerland, and Semyase talked to Billy in German because that was his native language, and these contact notes are stored, are written originally in German, and many of them have been translated, not all of them by any means. Billy had 600 contacts with these extraterrestrials. The official contacts ended in 1995, but still he has contacts on a yearly or by a yearly basis. So there are some 600 contacts, and these 600 contacts are written in contact notes. And these notes are like little booklets. They can be one page to about 100 pages, depending on the topic and what's being covered. Now, Billy had contacts with Semyase for quite some time, but unfortunately on December 15th, 1977, she suffered a life-threatening accident in this Semyase Silver Star Center there in Hinterschmidt-Ruti, and she had to be taken back to her home world for treatment and rehabilitation. Billy's contacts with her picked up again, but in 1984, she again kind of had a cerebral collapse, a relapse, and she's been literally taken out of our universe into this other parallel universe called the Tao universe, where she is currently recovering. Now, after Semyase's collapse, Billy started having contacts with two other extraterrestrial men, one named Quetzal and one named Ptah. And this evening, I wanted to talk about some of these contacts that occurred in 1955. Excuse me, the 150, not 1955, but I wanted to talk about the 155th contact. And I do have a caller on the line that I'm going to get to here shortly. This contact, 155, occurred on December 6, 1981 at 10:45 p.m. And the contact is between Billy and this extraterrestrial man named Quetzal. Quetzal, again, was a Pleiaran man. He was the commander of all the stations that were in our solar system at that time. And Billy and Quetzal are discussing a couple that at that time were one of the group. There is a group in Switzerland that supports Edward Albert Meyer's work. And back in 1981, these two people were still in the group. And let me read what it says here, and then I'll discuss it a little bit more. It says, in their lives, the determination of Ferdinand and Ingrid was set and ordered by them. quite differently than how they shape their present lives. Neither one of them has determined himself for the other, even if they have come together in a marital bond and witnessed descendants, which also doesn't correspond to their destinies. Even their previously contracted commitments and their impacts didn't correspond to their destinies, but rather to the wild joining together with different sex partners, etc. By what means they were very heavily disturbed and harmed their destinies. Now in that earlier passage, it says neither one of them has determined himself for the other. The English word determine means decided, settled, resolved. It seems to correspond to some decision that was made prior to their current life. The German word, and excuse me, I'm probably going to ruin this pronunciation, is Bestimmung, and it's translated as determined. Sometimes it's translated as destiny. But it can also mean determination, purpose, appointment, settlement, assignment. Destiny can mean the predetermined, usually inevitable or irresistible course of events. But notice that these two engaged in wild sex had disturbed and harmed their destiny. And the German word gestört means to trouble, to disturb, to impair, and to violate. Well, I was fortunate enough to have an email contact with one of the people from Switzerland who works close with Billy. And I asked her about this passage. And she says here that Quetzal is talking about the destiny of Ferdinand and Ingrid, which their former personalities made during the Great Oath about 13,500 years ago. So let me try to answer and define what this Great Oath is. In Contact 229, it says the following about the Great Oath. It says, when the prophet of the new time speaks of codex as well as oath and law, only a few loyal ones will gather around him, and most human beings will not want to listen to him. At first, only a few human beings will hurry to pursue the truth when he spreads the teaching of the Spirit. For to the many human beings, his voice and teaching will go unheard as if in a desert. Now, in 1988, Billy was asked about this codex or this great oath that occurred, and I'll read this part of this interview, just one little short paragraph. For this reason, it is understandable that the immigrants from Lyra and then Vega, as well as the 144,207 leaders, remained on Earth. In due course, everyone died, only to be later reincarnated into human bodies on Earth, however, without any memory of their former lives. This is true for all human life forms, whereby the creative laws and commandments prevent chaos and confusion from entering into the human way of thinking and feeling. Nonetheless, all of these fallibles who had come to the earth were unified by Nishwish, a king of wisdom, and were taught all required creative laws and commandments and other guidelines. The union led the fallibles, in particular the 144,000 ringleaders, to declare their willingness to make an amends in later incarnation for previously induced damages. Simultaneously, they drew up a codex for themselves and all the followers, which provided for the severest punishment of those who did not strive to make amends for their past mistakes, or who would not pursue the resulting mission. This codex was to be valid for all future times until the day that the reparations were completed. So anyway, if you've listened to the show before, you know that in the ancient past, the Milky Way galaxy was colonized by a group of extraterrestrial humans known as the Lyrians. They entered into the oldest space-time shifted regions of the constellation of Lyra millions of years ago. They colonized other worlds. They mixed with other people. They conquered other worlds. And about 298,000 years ago, they came here to the Earth. They mixed with the Earth people, and they abused the Earth people, and they committed certain crimes, which this codex and this agreement is supposed to make reparations for. So now that we've kind of come full circle this evening, I was going to bring my caller on, and I'll ask her to tell us her first name and to tell us what state she's calling from. Hello, caller.
Hi, how are you?
Oh.
Hi, my name is Candace.
Okay. Is that your phone?
That's my house phone. Don't worry about that.
All right.
Yeah.
So what did you think? Are you totally confused?
Well, it's interesting. I've never really heard of it before, so it's pretty interesting. I mean, I'm always eager to learn new things and learn, you know, stuff, you know. I mean, it's interesting. Very interesting.
Well, good. Good. Very good.
Yeah.
Did you have anything, any particular questions or anything?
Pertaining to the subject, no, not really, but
okay, well, that's okay too. I can put you back on hold and let you listen.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, we'll do that. Thanks for calling, Candace. I will probably take a short little break and play some relaxing music, and you're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Everyone, I want to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're talking about the Billy Meyer case, Edward Albert Meyer, this farmer in Switzerland who has had extraterrestrial contact since about the age of 5 years old. And I notice in the chat room, looks like we have a few new listeners this evening as well. So I'll pick back up on a little background information that might make things a little clearer. Billy had contacts with the elderly man named Svoth for 11 years. Remember, these contacts occurred in Switzerland starting in 1945. Svoth would land his ship there in Bulac, Switzerland, and take Billy up occasionally, and sometimes his contacts were telepathic of nature. These contacts went on for 11 years until Billy was about 16 years old. Now, Thoth was an extraterrestrial human from another star system. Not in our dimension, not in our space-time. Our Milky Way galaxy not only has 100,000 light years across it, but it has different dimensions or different space-time configurations. And the Meyer material tells us that there are 2,630,000 higher, more advanced human civilizations in our Milky Way galaxy. Thoth came from beyond our Pleiades. These people originally allowed themselves to be called the Pleiadians. They're not from our Pleiades, but they're from some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space-time configuration. They live on a planet named Era. And Era is very similar to the Earth in a lot of ways. But they have a very pure atmosphere with very thick oxygen because they live in harmony with their world. They haven't let off any nuclear explosions, to my knowledge, on their planet. They don't have any pollution. They don't ore on their planet. They don't mine metals. They don't dig oil wells. They don't build roads on the surface. They live in harmony with the planet, with the animals, and they have a very utopic existence. They keep their population very low at about 500,000 people, or 500 million people, excuse me. And they are related to us in one way. They tell us that our forefathers are their forefathers, the Lyrians, again, who came here, who came to the earth in the ancient past. Now, Billy was told that he would get his second extraterrestrial mentor when he was 16 years old. And he was told to go up on top of a hill and wait, and then out of the sky came this robotic craft. And it landed on top of this hill, and a hatch opened, and Billy stepped into the ship. And the hatch closed, and the ship became invisible, and he became invisible. And then he was whisked off to a country called Jordan in the Middle East. He stepped out of the ship. He recognized the heat and the red rocks, and he knew he was in Jordan. And then out of the sky came what looked like a falling star, and it came lower and lower and lower. And eventually he could see that it was another ship, another large disc. It landed. Out of the craft, this stunning woman stepped. Her name was Asket. And that was Billy's next extraterrestrial teacher. He would meet with her for the next 11 years. Now, during this first meeting, Asket took him back in her ship, and they flew off to Egypt, and they landed somewhere close to the Great Pyramid of Giza. And she placed a device on him that made him invisible, made her invisible. And they both went through this passageway in the Great Pyramid of Giza, and they went far below the Giza Plateau into these old cubical constructions. They were some 72,000 years old. The Meyer material tells us that the Great Pyramid in Giza is 73,000 years old. It was built during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. And our civilization is a civilization with amnesia. We don't know who we are. We don't realize that our civilization goes back that far. So we're climbing out of the rubble of this great war that occurred between Atlantis and Lemuria. And all that remained of that great civilization are these monolithic structures that exist all over the earth, like the Great Pyramid at Giza, like the Great Stones in Baalbek, Lebanon. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're massive stones. We've got a place called Machu Picchu in South America. We've got also in Peru a place called Pumapunku, where these giant stone structures exist. I think it's this called the Pyramid of the Sun in Mexico, which is also a giant pyramid. In China, there are many pyramids, giant pyramids, some of which are covered up right now intentionally by the Chinese because they found giant mummies in there. Not mummies, giants in there, red-haired giants, some with light hair. And the Chinese don't like the fact that there were non-Asian people in their country in the ancient past. Anyway, the Maya material teaches us that we don't know as a society who we are yet. And Billy and Asket are going below, far below the Giza Plateau through these super dark tunnels. Eventually, they get to this stunning hallway, which shows light and has light everywhere. And there's this ancient spacecraft down there. And there's religious artifacts. And Billy's confused by, what is this? There are guards there. And Asket and Billy retreat quickly. They're still invisible at this point. They go back to the surface. And Asket explains to Billy that there have been some renegade extraterrestrials here on the Earth that have been confusing the people of the Earth through religions, that they posed as gods in our ancient past. Let me give you an example. If you read the ancient Indian epic, the Bhagavad Gita, you'll hear about Lord Krishna, who presented himself as the creator of the universe. It's very interesting that many of these gods, whether they're Apollo or Lord Krishna, they show up at a time when there's warfare. It's a very, very strange thing. But Asket told Billy that this group had, since the fall of Atlantis and Lemuria, Atlantis and Lemuria's great war occurred about 11,500 years ago. And at the climax, at the very end of this war, the Lemurians smashed a meteor into the Earth. And that caused our pole to shift in alignment. Before that meteor hit the Earth, the place that we call Florida was up near the North Pole. And that land was called Hyperborea. And the Germans, the Nazis, knew about Hyperborea. And they knew that there were a very advanced people that lived up in that northern area. They called them the Hyperboreans. They also called them the Aryans. Now, strangely, before the pole shift, our climate was very different. And the poles were a place of tremendous good weather. I don't know how it was possible, but it was. Excuse me. It was a place of eternal summer. And after that great meteor slammed into the Earth, the entire Earth shifted such that the area of Florida has moved back to the south where it is now. It still has a very, very good climate. But what happened after that great war of Atlantis and Lemuria, the few people that remained spent centuries just living in total primitive conditions, and they forgot who they were. They forgot as the parents died and the younger ones took over, and this cycle created went through several centuries. The people forgot about the great history of Atlantis and Lemuria. They didn't remember anymore how the great structures were built, like the Great Pyramids, like, you know, our archaeologists today make up stories about how these things were built. They don't know how they were built because we can't build things like that anymore. We don't have, we're not that advanced anymore. The civilization that resided on the earth prior to ours was more advanced than we are. So we're climbing out of the rubble and out of the chaos of a much, much higher civilization. But our archaeologists have not understood that yet. So there's much confusion here on the earth, and because of this confusion, we're entering into this time that I described earlier as the third millennium. And Billy has a wonderful writing that talks about this time. It's called The Goblet of Truth. It talks about the time we're in now, called the third millennium, and it warns us about the difficulties that we will face in this time. It has a wonderful passage in it that I like to share almost every other show because it really defines what nature's all about, what the purpose of our life is, and it's entitled What the Truth Knows to Say. And it goes on to explain that rivers, stones, plants, animals, lakes, seas, brooks, the air and water, trees and bushes, and everything that crawls and flies here on earth are life forms with a spirit form. And many, many of them are connected by psychic vibrations. And all of them are wise and heightened that communicate with one another, all knowing about their common existence. And the consciousness and the psyche of all created creations are in turn bound on a journey through time which incorporates many bodily existences, and that death is just the passage to rebirth, rebirth into the world of pure spirit. So again, when you die, your human spirit comes out of your physical body, goes into this band of energy around our planet called the fine matter world, and the universal consciousness takes your past life memories, stores them in the universal storage banks, and then you have a time of reflection, a time of rest. The normal time here on Earth is about a lifetime and a half, which would be about 125 years, something to that effect. But because of our overpopulation, people tend to come back earlier. So what happens is that tiny spark, which is actually, you can almost think of it as a part of creation, is placed back into the body of a child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. That spark, that energy, that spirit is what causes the baby's heart to start beating. And the energy from that spirit travels like a filigree web to every cell of the body. And now that child, it's in its subconsciousness are placed all the wisdom of its previous personalities, and it gets a new material consciousness. Now, it's possible that the child, it could be its first lifetime. In that case, there is no information put in its subconscious. Now, a lot of times, brand new spirits are sometimes confused with someone that might be retarded. It's just that the spirit form has no previous life memories for inspiration. And there's nothing in the storage banks of the universe for it to have impulses from as it's developing. That's why some children evolve very slowly. Some children evolve very quickly because their spirit has had many, many reincarnations. These children that advance much quicker. Now, if you go into the forest and you start to become a good student and you observe and you listen, you can hear all of these creatures that are connected by these psychic vibrations. If you watch nature, you can watch the birds as they move as a unit. They all fly together. Many of them do, in big flocks, and they'll fly hundreds of yards and then land all at the same time in a tree because they're connected by these psychic vibrations. In the summertime, if you go into the forest and it's later in the evening, you'll hear the crickets, you'll hear the cicadas, you'll hear the frogs, the peepers, you'll hear owls maybe hooting, you'll all hear all these creatures as they communicate with one another because they're all connected. And the Meyer material says they're connected by these psychic swinging waves. Now, we all have this connection with nature. And it's this connection with nature allows us to coexist in harmony with all the fauna and all the flora and all the universe. The problem is, here on the earth, we are overpopulating in such a degree, we are destroying nature. And we're being born in urban environments, blacktop, asphalt, sirens, noise, chaos, automobiles. And we've lost all the connections that we should have with everything. We no longer understand that nature is a tightly woven web. Now, woven means to interlace, like threads, yarn, strips of fibrous material. And interlace also means to cross one over top of the other, to intertwine. You see, all of nature is intertwined. Now, because we're forgetting our connection with the creation, there are aberrations, unhealthy thoughts and unhealthy philosophies that are coming to power here on the earth. We have fascism, neo-capitalism, materialism. All of these things are aberrations. What's an aberration? An aberration is something that's gone down the wrong path of evolution. And now we can see, we are starting to wake up to the fact that all of our entire society is in chaos because we've lost our connection with all things. We don't have a basic understanding of who we are or where we come from. And this aberration that we're living in is manifesting in many ways. We see the unrest, the conflict. We see it in many, many different ways. Our leaders are taking away our right of self-determination. The people are becoming obtuse and indolent, indifferent. And this is creating the breeding ground for hostility, the breeding ground for war. We've desecrated nature to the point where we could see a complete collapse of nature. We could see the conflict of the industrialized nations in a third global conflagration, a third world war. All these things could be happen. All these things could happen. Now, why are we in this horrible state that we're in now? Well, after the fall of Atlantis and Lemuria about 11.5 thousand years ago, when the people of the Earth had been living for centuries in squalor, and centuries just barely surviving, because our whole ecosystem was practically wiped out by that great meteor. Well, again, some of these extraterrestrials came back from Beta Centauri and places like that, and they kind of set themselves up a tyranny, and they oppressed the native Earth humans. And all of our ancient histories talk about these gods. The Indians, the people from India, in their ancient writings like the Mahabharata and the Bhagavad Gita, they talked about Lord Krishna. They talked about Shiva, the god of destruction. The Greeks talked about Apollo. And they all created a kind of tyranny that eventually, I mean, these extraterrestrials were underground. They were humans, but they were farther, far advanced over the people that had remained after the fall of Atlantis and Lemuria. And we saw certain establishments come up. And we saw the rise of the Roman Empire, which created a military tyranny. But we also saw the Roman Catholic Church, which created what the Meyer material calls a consciousness-conditioned tyranny. And it still manifests today. And that's why people don't understand where they're from. We just, as a whole, we don't understand even these, our history. We don't understand why these tremendous monolithic structures exist. We don't know anything outside of our solar system. It's all been done intentionally to keep us in this consciousness conditioned tyranny. Now, what is a consciousness? A consciousness is the state of being awake or aware of one's surroundings. To condition means to bring something into the desired state for use. A tyranny is a cruel and unreasonable use of power. So we have an enforced narrow-mindedness today. And all of our society leads us into being into servitude. Servitude is the state of being completely subject to someone more powerful. We have religions. For example, if you go back to the auto de fe, which is the Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition, they would burn people at the stake who didn't have the same perspective as the Catholic Church at that time. 32,000 people, roughly, were burned at the stake. So we are living in this consciousness-conditioned tyranny here on the earth. But there is hope. There is the teaching of the Spirit. There is light at the end of the tunnel. I wanted to pick up back in the human spirit and talk a little bit about the human spirit in a second, but I want to pick up with this couple in Switzerland, Ferdinand and Ingrid. We were talking about them near the beginning of the show, and that Ferdinand and Ingrid had screwed up their destiny because they had a rather wild joining with different sex partners. And this Ferdinand and Ingrid were obviously old Lyrians. And they would have had a destiny for this bond love if they had not ruined it. And they were a bit too wild, as it were. Let me read what it says here about them. Both of them have even done this to such an extent that they destroyed their actual destinies, through which they cannot be rebuilt in their present lives. The necessary psyche vibrations have already been destroyed in the two before these were ever fully developed. Thus, both of them did not enter into the joy in the sense of harmony of destiny vibrations, whereby it also remained denied to them to develop true love. I thought that that was very practical, very down-to-earth information that we would all enjoy hearing. I want to tell everyone about this wonderful film by Michael Eyedbroek. I can't pronounce his name. He works with FIGO in Canada, and it's based on a book by Billy that's called Rebirth, Life, Dying, Death, and Sorrow. And it talks about the creation and the human spirit. And I'll just cover this briefly. In order to evolve, the creation creates the spirit form. And spirit forms evolve independently through the human being's material consciousness. Prior to entering into the human being for the first time, the spirit form is totally neutral. It's an energy agglomeration. It lives in timeless existence. And agglomeration is the act or process of collecting in a mass. The material consciousness is the human brain, the cerebrum, and it personifies decision-making, thought processing, and all actual thinking. Once the spirit form enters into the human being, its goal is to collect wisdom and knowledge and love through countless reincarnations. Eventually, the spirit form will merge back with the creation, which helps the creation to further evolve. And this next passage comes from the book called The Decalogue by Billy Meyer. The creation is the being and the non-being of life. It is the most immense mass of spiritual energy in the universe. It is the spirit in its purest form, in immeasurable wisdom, knowledge, love, harmony, and truth. It is something that is pure spiritual intelligence. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show this evening. I've enjoyed bringing it to you. You're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. And we'll be on Revolution Radio tomorrow evening. Join us there at freedomslips.com, Studio B. Talk to Henry Kroll in the first hour. In the second hour, I think we will be talking about the Meyer material. Thanks for listening. Have a good evening.